A blessed New Year to you. Yeah, brother, we have been reminded about age in the announcement. Sorry, Esther, I guess I haven't seen her for some time. Slips my mind. Yeah, thank God that as I hear the sharing that really, you know, 30 over years ago I've been started connected with this church. And that the Lord has continued to bless the church and continue to lead the church. Elder Jeremy has asked me to share a newer message, you know, to the church. It's been always challenged to share a message when you are not a regular comer. And in that sense, try to understand what the Lord is leading, how the Lord is leading the church. And this morning's sharing by Raymond about the youth and then Brother Chun sharing the concern and trying to do something. I guess that's kind of direction which quite a lot of people are concerned about. And I think it will connect somehow to what I want to say. I've called, given the title of my message, the Being and Becoming an Attractional Church. Let me explain what I mean by that. Let me see whether I can get this going. Okay. Am I pressing the right button? Okay. Sorry. Let me go back to the beginning. Okay, what I'm doing is to choose a theme that the church has chosen, City on the Hill. You know, the Christian life is basically an outworking of our position. In the sense that it is not something new we are doing when we think about what we want to do or what we hope to achieve or resolve in the future regarding our faith. But actually, we are asked to become what we are already in Christ. We are working out our salvation. So when we declare ourselves in a certain way that we are Christian, we are working out our Christianity, right? When you declare that we love God and God loves us, so whatever year we are entering in, we are actually working more, this love that we already have. And the same when we declare ourselves as a city on a hill, we are also saying that if this is what we have chosen to kind of represent us, this is who we are, this is the label we have taken from the Bible and have applied to us. So, okay, whatever year it is, we are seeking to become what we declare we are. We are a city on a hill. We are always becoming all that God has already poured himself in us in Christ. We are a city on a hill. And so, we have chosen a phrase from you all know from the scripture, Matthew chapter 5, and apply this to the church seeking to be a city on a hill. How do you become more as a city on a hill? And I have chosen the word attractional. Now, I think it may be new to many of you. How many of you have heard the word attractional applied to the church? Well, not many. If you Google, you will find the word there. And it has been kind of a recent word or language or vocabulary used in the discussion of church. And it has to do with what we have shared this morning, the concern. How do you attract people, right? Attractional. Attract, attractive, attractional. It has been used to talk about what the modern church should be. The kind of worship we should have. Attractional. So there is attractional church. People have written about it. So you can Google and come to recognize that this is the language. You know, as time changed, as I said, I've been in the Christian ministry more than 40 years already, you know. And I could notice that our words, our language have changed, you know. And the way we talk about God, we talk about faith have changed. And it's a fact that language is a living thing, you know. With new ideas, new thoughts, no? We have new ways of talking, right? And so, for this new generation, how do you talk about God? Of course, when I remember the situation or circumstances in which I grew up, the church that which I attended, of course, we were taught in a certain way, you know. We have people like Billy Graham and all these people who gave us the lingo and all the terminology. We inherited from them. And now, of course, new ways of talking about church, new way of talking about evangelism, mission, and all that. When we talk about attraction, we are talking about attractional. We are talking about how to get people to look at us, pay attention to what we have said, and be interested to come and at least inquire about our faith, and we will get people to come to church. There's no question that when Jesus used the phrase, the city on the hill, Jesus was actually basically challenging us to kind of be visible, be public, be in the public so that people can see. So the context in which this phrase appears in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 14, if you're familiar with the passage, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, basically, yeah, I'm taking this context as chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 16. This phrase, the city on the hill, or in this version, town hill, is part of the various metaphors that Jesus used to challenge his listeners about being visible or being seen. See, you are the salt of the earth. Okay, salt, of course, you can see salt, but also the salt is not just being seen, but it does contribute, okay, to the person who kind of receive the salt or have eat the salt, you may say, or use the salt. And you are the light of the world. You are a town built on a hill, cannot be hidden. So, yeah, you cannot hide these things. No? You cannot hide a lamp, you cannot hide light. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works. So, in that passage, at least, in this paragraph here, and in the metaphors that Jesus used, he was very interested to ask us to be out in the public, in the world, not to hide ourselves, to be visible, to be seen, to be seen. Salt, light, city on a hill, cannot be hidden. And when you do good work, people can see, right? You do good work, people can see. The challenge of us that we need to be visible. We need to be recognized. And in the context of our sharing, we want to be recognized by the younger generation. We want to make our faith visible in such a way it attracts them. We are commanded to bring the gospel to the world. The salt shouldn't be kept in the salt shaker. It has to be shaken out. Okay? Light is energy. The lamp is just basically a vehicle. When you light the lamp up, you don't put it under a cover. Of course, when we want to read at night when our parents say we should sleep, no, we kind of put the lamp under the cover or the torchlight under the cover. But the whole idea of lighting is that it will shine and people will be able to see. Of course, the town, the very nature, the very fact that it is not that the town has to do anything, but as long as it's located on a high ground, of course it's visible. It's automatic. It's given. Okay, once you choose to build your city or town on a high ground, of course it is visible. No? The moment you have light, it has to be visible. And the moment you do good work, then others will see. make yourself visible, make yourself known. Even Jesus' own brothers, you know, in one occasion challenged him. He says that you shouldn't be staying here. No, you should go to where the feast is going on. No? Because anyone who wants themselves to be known, or wants himself to be known, and his message to be heard, he has to go to the public, right? So the brothers also said that you shouldn't be staying here. No, you should go to where the people are. Yeah. So it's a common sense, you may say. No, if you want people to follow you or hear your message, you have to go to where the public is. You must show yourself. But then when we actually come to Matthew chapter 6, we hear Jesus kind of give a kind of different kind of advice, you know. He says something that seems quite different from what he said in Matthew chapter 5. He says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen. That's quite different from what he said, right? On one hand, he says, do it so that others can see. And then here he says, be careful to practice your righteousness so that others, in front of others to be seen by them, then you get a reward. No? When you give the needy, don't announce it, don't blow your trumpet. No? In fact, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when you give. No? When you pray, don't try to show off. No? Pray secret. So often people debate, how could Jesus say the very opposite of what he was saying in Matthew chapter 5? Of course, here he is talking about certain practices, no? And that's where it calls us to be cautioned when we talk what it means to present things in the public. In what aspect of gospel witness, in what aspect of our Christianity should we be put in the public so that we be seen, and what we should practice our Christianity in such a way that it is for the Father's eyes only. That calls for wisdom, right? That calls for the wisdom to see what should be put in front in the public. Okay? It challenges our motives of putting things out in the public. There are several things we need to be aware of when we try to interpret this phrase, city on the hill, as found in this context of Matthew chapter 5. First, you'll notice that actually this phrase, city on the hill, is used to refer to the individual Christian. Of course, now you use it as referring to the church, Baptist Park. And we talk about church, we talk about our corporate life, no? Our body life. No? We're talking about more than one person. We're talking about our group. But actually, the whole of Matthew chapter 5, actually, basically first is targeting the individual disciple. What kind of person you must be. Blessed are you. So in the Beatitude, blessed that you are if you are poor in spirit. No, so it is about the individual Christian, the individual disciples, how he or she has to behave or to model his or her life. You are the salt. So it's not referring to the group as such, but each of us has to be salt, each of us to be the light, and each of us is to be like the city. So first of all, we must understand that it is first addressed to each of us. Of course, it has to do with church, because what the church is depends on how the individual members live, right? How you and I, as members of the church, live out a Christian life will affect what the church becomes or how the church display itself in the public. But let's not forget that actually this phrase cedar here is actually addressed to each of us. As individual first. Each of us has to be like a city that is not hidden. And we must not think that, if we have more, then our witness will be better. You know, of course, if you have one candle, you add two candles, three candles, things become brighter, right? Yeah. But I think if you add more salt, maybe not so good. So it breaks down, you know, the analogy, you know, but important when we try to interpret it, I think it's still applicable because church, after all, is people, right? Church is not building. Fattest Park is not built on a hill in a sense, so I think this is kind of low ground here. So we are taking it metaphorically, and we are applying it to us as a body of people, a congregation, that we are a city on the hill. So first of all, we must recognize that we are called to be each of us, not the church as a whole, but each of us are called to be salt, light. Each of us are called to do good work. Each of us are called to be a city. Now, the other thing I think we need to understand is when Jesus talked about a city on the hill or a town on the hill, he was talking about something that they are he and the people were very familiar with. Because Nazareth, the very town that Jesus came from, was actually built on the kind of a hill, a tuck in the hill. And Jerusalem, of course, we know is on the hill, the high ground. Now, ancient cities and ancient towns are built on hill. Why? What's the reason? Is it because they want to attract people? You think that they built the city on hill because they want to build like Petronas Tower, like that, something high to attract people, to bring in the people to live in the city? What's the purpose of building on hill? Basically, defense, right? Because you can protect yourself better if it's located on the hill. So the aim was not to attract people, actually. The aim is not because to ask people to come, look, we are good. No, we can provide for you. No, no. The choice of building on the hill is so that, it is a good way to, it's a good way to provide defense. First you can look down and see where your enemy is coming from. And from the hill, you have all the resources, the water and all that is easily available. Of course, for the people walking, it's quite a challenge to walk up the hill. But then the survival of the town is preeminent, most important. So they were not thinking about being attractive, actually. The city was built not because they want to attract people, but because it provides security. But when you're built for security, you also inevitably built in such a way that people will see. Of course, if your town is secure, then it attracts people. People will come. And say, well, this is a good place where I can have refuge. So Jesus, in using this, we have to recognize that he is using this metaphor not because he is saying that we must decorate up in such a way that we will attract people. He says that it's inevitable. When you follow him, inevitable you will attract attention. So coming to, I think I need to say something about attraction, but being an attractional church. This is actually what have been said also by Brother Chun and about the influence that is now upon us. In fact, church evangelism now depends on marketing strategy. We use the language of marketing, and there's a lot of debate about it. How much should we go that route to target? When you talk about marketing strategy, you want to extract a target group, right? You know what they need, what they want to have, and so you provide what they have, and they will come to you. Okay, so there is a lot of debate about being an attractional church. So I think it has its place because we want to relate to people, we want to meet people's needs. And if you don't make a study, if you're not aware what people think, how can you communicate? How can you reach? There is a place for us to use the sciences, to be aware of where people are in this time and how do we relate. How do we relate to our generation? Okay. But I think it's important also to know, as Jesus said, that what is really in human hearts. Jesus was very popular, when he was able to provide and meet people's need, but he didn't trust himself to them because he knows what was in them. So on one hand, we want to meet needs, and yet we know that what's the real need of people. And so it calls for us, who are leaders, who wants to help the church provide a way to attract people. We have to know of the real situation, no? And yet meet people's need. So I'd like to just share three things about the attractional qualities of the Christian and also of the church, according to Matthew chapter 5. You know? There's no question we are asked to be visible. No question that we need to cause people to take a look at us and say, okay, yeah, they have something to offer. We go out in the public and try to persuade people that the gospel is for them. I'd like to use the passage that's now in Matthew chapter 5 and share three qualities I think we need to have in order to be an attractional Christian or attractional church. I think what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 5 here is about what it means to be a person in Christ, what it means to be a follower, a disciple, what it means to be a Christian. What it means to also positively influencing others, just like Brother Chun said, what do you mean to influence the next generation? And what does it mean to do good work? You all are familiar with the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit and all that. And somebody has translated what Jesus is saying as in terms of the attitudes, the Beatitudes, right? The attitudes. I think this is the first thing that people take notice of about us, right? It's the attitude that we display towards other people. It's our attitude. So if we can get people to notice that the way we react or interact with people, our attitudes are different. We are basically reacting based on what Christ is like, then people will take notice. And that's why he says when people persecute you, now it's important how you react. How do you react? We want to use many ways to attract people, but in the everydayness of life, it's the attitude that counts. That's how people, whether wants to draw near to us, or don't want to have anything to do with us. So, talking about being attractional, we have to, of course, grow to be like Christ, you know, in the way we interact with people, how we show ourselves. And, of course, it depends on our worldview, what we really believe in. And so the Sermon on Mount tells us, these are the qualities, this is the characteristics you need to have. Once you have them, then your attitude will be different from those people in the world. John Stott will call it, you are being countercultural, no? You don't react the way that most people usually do. Then people ask, why you react this way? No? I react this way because these are my values. This is the way because Christ reacts. No? That is what we are supposed to display, and this is how we will attract. And so, of course, there are people who will not like the attitudes we have, no? And they will crucify us. But that's also part of the price. That when people look at you, it doesn't mean that they love you, no? No matter how good you are. If they want to get rid of you, they will get rid of you. Okay? Yeah. But what Jesus is more concerned is that we will show attitudes that will reflect God. And the people who are ready, they will say, okay, I like this kind of attitude. I like to come near you. No? So the Beatitudes are about our attitudes, no? Our attitude towards what it means to be blessed. You know? The word blessed, as one person has, one scholar said, is actually congratulation. What it means to be happy. You know? This is what it means to be happy. You know? This is the happiness that I have because I follow Jesus' way. You know? I ought to be congratulated because I seek first the kingdom of God. You know? Yeah. So when we embrace the ways of Jesus, then our attitudes will be different. Then our reaction towards people different. And they want to know why you react this way, you know? Why your attitudes are different from the others. So I think the first attractional quality has to do with our attitude. And so if we want to be a church to attract people, and we want to be individual Christian to attract people, then we have to make sure that we reflect the attitude of Christ. Then when Jesus talked about being salt and light and seed and heal good work, he's talking about, of course, influence. You know, salt by itself is of no value. It has only value when it's poured out and either give taste or it stops decay. You know, salt has been used to kind of slow down decay before the days of fridge or refrigeration. So when people come, do they find that their lives are made better in terms of they find life more tasteful? Or do you find that you have influenced them to stop the decay in their lives? Positive influence. And talk about light, and light by itself is meant to shine so that others benefit from it. You switch on the light, it's others who can see. When you come close to a person, can other people see better because of you? Can their confusion be cleared because of you? Can the darkness be pushed back further down? I mean, pushed back simply because of knowing you? And that's what light does. And so we know that in the world there is darkness. You cannot push away, you can only push away darkness by giving light. And so each of us are called to be light. So I hope that when we interact with people, when people leave us after they talk to us, they feel that they are able to see a little bit more clearly, before they came to see us. We may not have all the answers for them, but at least some darkness is clear, is pushed away. So that's it, that we are the light, and we are city. Of course, they say the city is there because it provides security. And so when people come to us, do they in the end find that, well, because of what you have said, I find more security in God? Do they go away less secure? Or they find that, yes, I know where I can look to, for security? That's what city on a hill does. It's supposed to give security. And when people come to us and accept and are blessed with good and receive good works from us, some kind of help, they know that they have been blessed. Yeah, so this, if we want to be attractional, this is what Jesus said we have to do. We have to be a positive influence. It's not that people just feel good, but they feel that they have gained something. It's not that we are able to teach them a lot, but somehow they find that they have tasted a little bit of life. Been helped to push back the darkness that's in them. So the metaphors, the analogy Jesus was using was to tell us that this is a way to attract people. Of course, when people came to Jesus, that's how they felt. They left. Of course, it's not necessarily they'll follow him, but he has said something good to them, and he has challenged them. And lastly, to be attractional, of course, we have to do something. And Jesus talked about, let your good works be seen so that they may glorify God. Of course, here is a challenge for us. Because every time when we do good work, people clap their hand and we are the one who get all the glory. When you do charity, of course, the eyes are on you. You're such a sacrificial person. How do you do good work in such a way that the glory is reflected to God? So I think this calls for some good planning, some strategy, ways of doing things that will avoid people focusing on you, but focusing on God. So when Jesus, let your light so shine, so it calls for some work to be done. It's just not automatic, Of course, we will always do good work around and bless people, but if we want to be strategic, so it's like this morning, we heard about going out to Chiang Mai and all that, strategic, How do you do it in such a way that people feel, there must be some reason these people come and do all this good work for us, And so when we think about being attractional, it's not about just doing any good work. As Paul says in Ephesians, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good work which God has prepared in advance for us. That means we as a church and we as individual Christians, we are given some kind of plan by God. There's something that we are good at, something that we have been assigned to do. We have to discover them. No? We cannot do everything. No? We cannot be charitable to everybody. No? So we have to say, what is the good work we can do? So if we are concerned about this generation to come, what is it that we can specially do as a church or as an individual here? We are not like other church or other people, but what we can do, because God has already planned it for us. You know? And so that's where we seek to discover. You know? Pray, study, and find out. So that we know that when we do, God has assigned us to do, the glory goes to Him and not to us. It's not because of our cleverness, but because He has given us this work to do, and the glory goes back to Him. And so that calls for some work. The other properties, light and all that, it comes from simply being located in Christ. The city set on the hill can be seen. It's not due to the city. It's due to the hill. It's because it's on the hill. You and I can be salt and light, not because of any natural properties in us, but because of Jesus Christ. Because you are in Him, you are salt, you are light, and you can do good work. And so we know our proper place. But when we come to do good work, it requires us to work. We have to put our minds, we have to plan strategically what to do. Can you go to the last one, please? The slides. So in closing, I think when we think about the year to come, and there's already God has given your concerns, we are becoming what we are already, you know, in Christ. So we are trying to become the city on the hill. As we have adopted or call ourselves to be, to become a city on the hill. And in Jesus' words, of course, as we think about being a city on a hill, He calls us to watchfulness and not to be complacent. We are already a city on a hill, although we are on low ground, but metaphorically, we are on city on a hill. We are salt and light. But as we face a new year, I think we should be careful and watch out, because that's what a city on a hill does. The people have to be on the lookout, you know, be watchful, so that the enemies will not come and surprise them. Because Jesus' salt can lose its saltiness. A lamb can be put under a cover. A city can be overtaken by enemies because the people were not watchful. And good work can glorify the worker and not God. So these are the temptations. These are the dangers we have to be aware of even as we move forward to the new year. How to be a city on the hill. You know, that we have to be aware that the gospel is not watered down, that we do not compromise simply because we want to meet people's need, that we do not simply want to attract people just because we want the crowd, but we still want to go out there so that people can recognize who we are and ultimately look to Christ for their salvation. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, You so loved the world that You sent Your Son to the world, that He lived among us, He tabernacled among us, and people saw Him, touched Him, heard Him. He was visible. He was God made visible for all of us. And You now call upon us to be likewise, to be incarnated in the world, to bring the gospel in each of us, in our personhood, and as a church. You call us to be salt-like, and most of all, to call this church to be a city on a hill. Lord, You have bestowed upon us with all Your gifts and Your resources. We are a city on a hill because we are connected to You because of Jesus Christ. We pray that we will work on our attitudes, you know, that we're going to grow and be more like Christ. You know. So when we interact with people, people will know that our attitudes point to God. Or at least they are challenged by our attitudes. They know that they come not from ourselves, but from you. They also, Lord, that we pray that we will be positive, we be an influence to others. That when people come to us and they leave after meeting us, they will feel blessed in one way or another. That we have helped them. They have pushed back the darkness a little bit. They feel more secure and know where to go for security in Christ. So I pray for this church as we embark upon the plan for the year, especially to reach the new generation, the Gen X, Gen Z. I pray for wisdom, that the good work they'll do will truly glorify you, that they will attract people, and that they will be challenged. These people will be challenged. These youth will be challenged to know the gospel and find grace in you. And all that they need and they want to have, they may find in the gospel. So bless us as we meet the challenges of the new year. In Jesus' name we pray.